All right, as promised, we go out to the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Hey, Jeff, how do you like being on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline? They're kind of a big deal. How does that make you feel?
Never felt better, Dan.
Jeff Wolf from Wolf Law here in Denver, also a regular on Court TV. Thanks for staying up late and joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Dan.
Hey, Jeff, I kind of been thinking about how I want to approach this. I kind of want to move forward to backward because I've had you on the Dan Jacobs show before when this thing kind of broke and we had some, you know, we had your thoughts on it then. I want to find out first your thoughts today, and then I want to figure out if your thoughts have really changed, and then I want to reset those thoughts if they haven't, and because you had some really strong, insightful thoughts about legally, you know, this situation back then. So let's just start now today. Your thoughts on today.
Well, my thoughts on today are that it was a pretty cowardly press release by the DA's office. Mm. Because what they basically did was they went to Newsdump Friday and said, we're not filing charges. Now, I want to stress that Von Miller, like anyone else, is absolutely innocent until proven guilty. You're innocent before you're charged. You're innocent if you're charged. You're innocent when you're in court. You're innocent when you're in trial. And only if a jury of your peers comes back or if you plead are you guilty. Okay? So I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that Von Miller did something here. What I am saying is that a DA's office treated him differently than they would have treated any other defendant in our state. Number one, that person would have been arrested the moment Parker thought they had a case. Number two, the DA's office would not news dump Friday and drop the American Bar Association ethical code into there instead of saying why they made their decision. Pure cowardice.
All right, explain that further.
So the DA's office has to file a charge in a domestic case, and the police have to make an arrest in a domestic violence case if they believe that there is probable cause. If the Parker police submitted a criminal case to the DA's office, which is what their press release says, then the Parker Police Department believes they have probable cause, but they didn't make an arrest.
So
By law, police are required to make an arrest when they believe that there is probable cause that a domestic violence crime has occurred. If somebody called the police on you today and said that you committed a crime against your wife or even a former intimate partner, you would be arrested. No question.
And that didn't happen here.
That obviously didn't happen here. Instead, the police took the matter under advisement, put out a release that they were investigating, put out another release that they had decided to give it to the DA's office, and then the DA's office puts out this release saying, well, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen of the public, the American Bar Association says that ethically we cannot press charges on somebody if we do not believe that we have probable cause or a likelihood of success at trial. It's patronizing. It's unbelievable. And it is, there's just no way that anybody else would get the same treatment. I'm not saying that Vaughn deserves to be arrested any more than any other person who maybe didn't commit a crime. But to say that he got the same treatment as anybody else would have gotten is absolutely ludicrous.
And actually, it's against the statute, right? Like, not to belabor the point, but anybody else would have been arrested, correct?
Correct. The moment the police thought they had probable cause, they would not have handed it over to the DA for a signature. They would have handed the body over for a case.
All right. So the way I'm kind of – so this is a complicated issue because – yeah, Parker police making public statements about uncharged an investigation publicly about a private citizen, which probably, well, not probably, in my opinion, is absolutely inappropriate. But then on the flip side, you have the DA giving special treatment. How do you square the two?
Because the only possible reason that the Parker PD does it is because they're not happy with what the DA's office is doing. It's what I told you back then, and it's what I'm telling you now. The only reason that the police stand up and shout about something like this is if they believe that the DA's office is not doing the right thing. And the DA's office confirmed as much by saying that a criminal case was submitted to them by the Parker police for filing, and they chose to decline.
Another thing I got a kick out of was it's kind of everybody, and I understand they don't know any better, but the media saying, you know, ooh, in the interest of justice. It's like, You know, that's boilerplate, right? Like, that was an emotion to dismiss I got 2 days ago. Like, they say that in everything. Like, that's not like, ooh, this thing with Vaughn was in the interest of justice. That's just boilerplate. You know, it's
right. They say it in any circumstance, no right. question. Anytime they dismiss a case, they always say it would be in the interest of justice. Sometimes they say it because the person's gone out and taken a class and there's an agreement that it's that they're not going to prosecute if the person is rehabilitated. Sometimes they say it if the witness disappears. Sometimes they say that the witnesses ask for the case to be dismissed in cases that aren't DV where it's the witness's call. You know, you steal something from King Soopers. If King Soopers wants to drop the case, they can. In DV, they can't because the DA has that choice. So the interest of justice is what they say in any circumstance, any. You're right, correct.
So here's the fascinating part of this, you know, because a lot of people assumed right away, like, oh, well, she recanted. Therefore, the case is over. This is another fascinating wrinkle that we talked about. Please walk us through that. Normally, if a witness recants, what happens? Is it case over? Game over?
Yeah, it is. Because in a non-domestic violence case, the decision of whether to prosecute or not is actually up to the victim. You have to press charges, right? People always say, I want to press charges on this person. So what they're really saying is, I'm going to cooperate in the prosecution of this case, and I'm going to stick to my story and say this person did this. And I'm going to support the DA's office prosecuting this case because the DA doesn't work for the victim. They work for the state and they work for their county and they work for their judicial district. But in a domestic violence case, that is where that right has been taken away from the victim. In a state where we give so many rights to victims, they've taken that away from the victim in a DV case and put it in the hands of the prosecutor. And so these recantations that don't happen very often in cases where people don't know each other. You know, it's not very often that somebody is going to come in and say, no, that guy didn't steal my purse at the RTD stand. What's actually happening is you see recantations in these DV cases because people make up lies and then feel bad about it later. You know, there's a million different reasons that it occurs, but our laws say that in a DV case, that is not reason to dismiss a case. The only reason is no likelihood of success at trial, meaning that the DA has to stand up in open court in most cases and say, I cannot proceed on this. I cannot win the trial.
And I think you addressed before, it's like they actually have an expert that is on retainer standing by. I actually have a couple experts, right, that just travel around and just testify, well, here's why. DV victims recant. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are 3 to 4 people in our state that are making an absolute sham of their PhDs and medical degrees and just driving around without any knowledge of anybody's case, walking into their trial and saying, this is why she changed her mind, because of the cycle of violence. And it's everything's good. You get into an argument. You yell at each other. You start to make up, everything's good, boom, 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 and then suddenly she's dead. And they're going to say that that happens in every single case. They're not going to know anything about the facts of any individual case or the victim in the case or the defendant in the case. And they just drive around and say that at every county court and every district court in our state every day.
All right, so we're getting a couple of these on the text line, and I know Small Baller has been bringing this up on Twitter. Same thing with Tyreek Hill, right? Like, what if Von Miller's a victim here? Like, these ex-girlfriends, they go to the police. It gets splashed into the media. Because I know, like, our original interview was, you know, there's a separate set of rules for athletes and one for everybody else, right? Like, okay, so he should have been arrested. But what if she made it up? And now, you know, his name has been, you know, drug through the mud. What about that?
His name has already been dragged through the mud, number one. Okay. Vaughn has had a character assassination on him since the moment her social media posts went up and people noticed them. And so that's number one. Number two is it shouldn't matter that he has a character worthy, and I say that in quotation marks, of being assassinated, right? Because he's a public person, we worry about what people think of him when an ex calls the cops, bogus or not, and then he gets arrested. And what if he didn't really do anything, right? What about John Smith, who didn't do anything either. But he's in the middle of a divorce, and his wife's divorce attorney has said if he gets arrested for DV, you're going to get custody of the kids. Why doesn't nobody worry about those people? All I ever hear about is poor Tyreek Hill and poor Von Miller and poor every other athlete who's had a false allegation. This is happening in our communities every day to our neighbors, to our coworkers, and to our friends. And nobody gives them the benefit of the doubt. Nobody says, hey, call your supervisor before you arrest him. I watch the body cams. The officer walks in, the girl says, he hit me. He says, no, I didn't. And he goes, well, if we come out here and somebody says there's been an allegation of violence, I'm going to make an arrest. And sir, you're coming with me. And then John Smith loses his job. And then John Smith loses his kids. Nobody cares about that. My concern with this case is not whether Von Miller did anything or not, because I have no idea, and neither does anyone else. And I don't know what Tyreek Hill's full situation was either, just like I don't know what Kareem Hunt's was. The reason I know their names is because people give two hoots about what happens to them. Nobody cares what happens to everybody else. Everybody else gets arrested. Everyone. Probable cause, go to jail, end of story. That's what concerns me. That's what makes me angry as a defense attorney, is that everybody gives the benefit of the doubt to somebody who has something to lose, when in reality, Von Miller has less to lose than John Smith, because Von Miller has money in the bank and Von Miller's going to be all right.
Right. And I want to reiterate to our listeners, and you can follow up on this, like, you're a defense attorney. Like, it's not like you're out here saying Von Miller's guilty. Like, it's your job. Normally you're on the side of the defendant. And you're representing the person, being charged with DV. So you're an expert on this side of the coin. So it's not like you're, and again, I said it before you came on, that nothing I say tonight or you say tonight is saying that Von Miller's guilty, because you don't know and I don't know. But you defend people that are, you know, either wrongfully accused or maybe rightfully accused, but you are defense attorney for a living. And so you can talk about that, but it's not like you're saying he's guilty. But I do admire what you're saying is, yeah, think if you think it's bad for Von Miller, think about the rest of us or regular people.
Right. That's what gets to me, Dan, is like I said, I don't know if Von did it or not. And, you know, speaking as a Bronco fan, am I happy that we have an easier decision to make about whether we bring him back to the team next year because it's going to be based on talent and money and not all this other nonsense? Sure. Yeah. As somebody whose daughter wears a Von Miller jersey, am I happy I don't have to explain to her something difficult? Yeah, I am. Okay. But what frustrates me is to see an athlete get different treatment than any of the rest of us would get. If anyone else, like I said, if your wife called the police or your neighbors heard the police because they heard you yelling, you are going to jail tonight, Dan. Absolutely, unequivocally, unless they walk in and everybody says nothing happened and the neighbor goes, I don't really know what I heard, you're going to jail. They're not going to think about it. They're not going to call their sergeant and say, what should I do? They're not going to call somebody from the DA's office and say, when can we bring you this paperwork for you to review? They're just going to take you to jail, and your life is going to change forever from that arrest, regardless of what happens in court. And that's not what happened to Von. And I don't want him to be any more dehumanized than I want any of my clients or anybody else that I'm going to meet in the course of doing my work. I do not want that. I don't like people getting arrested. I don't like people sitting in cages. But it is incredibly frustrating to live in Arapahoe County and to watch what those DAs do to normal everyday people and then see them drop the ABA bar guidelines on us because he's a Bronco.
And that's coming from a Bronco fan.
Season ticket holder since 61 in my family, Dan. Yeah. I love the Broncos, but I do not like seeing anyone treated more important than someone else. They always tell me when I go in there and say, what about my client's kids? What about my client's job? What about my client's immigration status? They say, we got to treat everybody the same. We can't give somebody a better deal because it's going to hurt them more. So what the hell happened here?
Well, I think part of it is also, the DA doesn't want to, face Harvey Steinberg either. Von Miller as a defendant in Denver. Oh, by the way, and Harvey Steinberg as well. He doesn't want to have to do that.
He's an intimidating attorney. There's no question. But what makes his clients? They don't need to be treated the same as everybody else, too?
Right. No, I hear it every time, too, Jeff.
That's my concern.
Every time. We got to treat – I have an ethical duty to treat similarly situated defendants and similar – the same, right? And it's – I know it's frustrating. Hey, Jeff, tell everybody, one, if they want great legal representation or if they just, want to get a hold of you, tell them how to reach you and get a hold of you on social media and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. So my Twitter is JeffWolf5280, and you can reach me on Facebook. If you search Wolf Law LLC, you send a message, that's going to come directly to me. You can call my office at 720-479-8574, or you can go to our website, Wolf Law Colorado, and it's wolf like the animal, so it's easy to remember, wolflawcolorado.com. Submit a form on there. Call our office. All our information is on there. We're happy to talk to anybody who has questions about the legal process. We're happy to talk to anybody going through the legal process or concerned that they're about to be going through the legal process, because at the end of the day, you are absolutely not going to be treated how Von Miller was treated if you're in this situation. So you need to call a lawyer.
All right, Jeff. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely, Dan. Have a great night.
I'm telling you, he's passionate about this. He's fired up. Jeff is very calm. Most of the time, he's passionate tonight. He's fired up about it. And now you're going to hear my take on it next.